I'm an addict named Dion. And I'm just a little nervous, okay? And I'd like to thank the CPR CNA for asking me to share. And I'd like to thank the recovering addict from Brooklyn that gave her my name, because that's how it happened. I got the call on Tuesday from another girlfriend, and they said, we want you to do something in Ocean City. And doing something different, not him or her, right? And I'm one of those people that I put things out there, right? So I did put it on the social network, what do you think about this topic? And the responses I got were like the same responses I would have got when I had 5 years clean. I got clean August 2nd, 1988. Right? When I got clean, I was 20 years old. And all I knew was doing whatever it is I wanted. I didn't think that I could stay clean, right, because I was young and everybody was old. You know, back then, old was 30, you know. I was like, damn, they was using for 10 years. Wow. You know, I was meeting dope fiends that I was shooting dope for 20 years. They were shooting dope a lot longer than I was alive. You know, when I first picked up, and I have a similar background, incest and molestation is my story, you know. And I fed off of that for a lot of years. And when I got clean, nothing really changed. You know, I always needed validation in some sort of way. And when I got involved in relationships, it wasn't always so sexual as much as what I could do for you to make you feel better, right, about being with me. Because I never felt worthy of anything, right? I never felt worthy of being in a relationship. I never felt like I belonged in the fellowship, even when I got here and I stayed. It took me years to feel like I was a part of this fellowship, and I showed up. I made meetings. I did service. You know, they said, get involved. You know, you'll be a part of. You got to keep coming till the miracle happens. And it wasn't just not feeling like using. It was like feeling like being a part of something that really meant something. You know, when I stopped using, it was because I kept asking God to please help me. Every time I asked God to help me, he put me in a 12-step program. I was too young. I went to a detox. I wasn't really with it. I had to date the guy and, you know, write out the rehab and stuff. And we made a meeting and smoked a joint. That's what we did. And my next program, I was surrounded by a bunch of women, and I didn't want to be there anymore. And I was stuck up in the Bronx, coming up on 90 days. And they said, you can't work. And I said, I got to go. I had $20 in my wallet that I found, and I ended up in a shelter in Brooklyn. You know, that was October 1988. I was coming up on 90 days clean. I had nowhere to go. Nowhere to go. And I asked God to help me. And usually when I ask God to do some things, right, he has always responded to me. He said, call your aunt. I ended up sleeping on the couch for like 5 months, paying her rent, sleeping in front of beer bottles and roaches, you know, the reefer roaches and stuff, and making meetings. You know, it didn't matter what was going on around me because the bottom line was that I had to stay clean, no matter what. And then I would get involved in these relationships with people and people please just so I didn't have to be alone for like the longest time. I stopped feeling like that a couple years ago, right, when I had 20 years clean. I decided to get involved in a relationship that had to do with not being a victim or not being a predator. And that was hard for me. Because I've always been in multiple relationships, right? So I got involved with a person that had pretty much similar background, and it was a little devastating to, like, experience on the other side. And we got married. We got married, and everything was cool, and everything was wrong. You know, and people were saying, you know, you think that's a good idea? And I was like, oh, no, but I love him. Because I couldn't even see past it, and it wasn't even anything about sex. It was just like, how can I be there for you to make you want to be with me, you know? Because our relationship wasn't based on that. Our relationship was based on how needy the next person is in the moment. And we've had talk about that for a long time. And when we got married, it would have been 2 years next week. Or in 2 weeks, it would have been 2 years that we would have been married. And from the time we got married, something wasn't right. I started isolating again in recovery. You know, I know how to remove myself out of the fellowship. Every time I come to a meeting, I'm one of those addicts that if it's not feeling right in my head, I'm sharing it on the floor or sharing it with somebody one-on-one. How's it going? Everything's messed up. Everything's fucked up. That's all you say. If things fucked up, I don't know what's going on, and I want to use. And for me, using is going outside my marriage or going outside of my relationship or overspending or just not doing the right thing or being depressed and not going to work and ignoring myself and ignoring my needs and just not doing the right thing. And that's kind of like where it got me. You know, I had picked up an extra 20 pounds. Because I was so sad, and I couldn't even put a finger on it, and I had to keep coming. I kept praying, and one day, someone said, "You know, you deserve more. You know, did you get clean to do this?" In the early recovery, when I was going through relationship issues, it was like, "Do I want to be with him or do I want to be happy?" I could never get that concept together in my mind. Because I always thought that if I was with him, I would be happy. Whoever him was, it didn't really matter who him was at the time. And my husband and I, we hit an impasse. And I woke up one day, and I said, this is not going to work anymore. And I'm not one of those people that freely get out of relationships. I'm one of those people that hold on to the bitter end. I'm very spiteful and vengeful and very trifling. You know, I tend not to play nice. Yeah, I could get very, very ugly. And in this relationship, I wanted to be able to love him unconditionally as we ended it. And we've tried to maintain a relationship as it ended, which was a good thing, because that's not something I usually do. But what I did do, when I said I wanted it to be over, I became self-destructive again, and it happened just like that. I just got a raise on my job. I got a new job. I was there for over a year. I got a 15% raise. So I was making a lot of money, you know, for the first time in a long time. I came to work. This guy said something to me, and it clicked in my head. I said, fuck this. I quit. That was it. $110,000 job down the tubes, just like that. I didn't look back, nothing. You know, I came home, and I said, I quit my job. And he looked at me like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I was like, I don't know. It's just a thing. You know, I guess I can make money in some kind of way. And instead of going full-time, I went part-time. And going part-time means that I don't get to pay all the bills that I have to pay. And it was just like being in early recovery every time I struggled, right? Every time I couldn't pay my rent and take care of the things that I needed to take care of, I struggled. And that's what I did from November 8th to, like, January 30th. I struggled for 2 months. And I couldn't even put my finger on it. I couldn't stop myself. And then I have these women in my life, right? And I have these really good women in my life. And they were like, you're ending the relationship. Are you okay? And I was like, no, I'm fine. And I'd run home, right? I'd come to a meeting, and they'd look at me, and they'd take me, and they were taking me out to fellowship, just like I needed to be taken in early recovery. When they used to say, you people go to breakfast, or you people go to coffee, same thing. Nothing changed, right? 22 years clean, I still need help. I am not exempt, right? And these women saved my life, right? They made it easy for me not to be a predator because I was feeling bad, right, and taking advantage of somebody else because I didn't want to have to live like that again. Sometimes I do because sometimes it's easy. It's easy to lose yourself in other stuff and other people or just other things, you know, for the moment because I don't have long-term attention span. It's kind of short. As soon as I'm done, I'm good. You know, so I needed women and men that would love me unconditionally, just like to be there in my life, you know, and I'm so grateful for them. My husband and I, our wedding was finalized, or divorce was finalized last month. And it wasn't as sad as I thought it would be, you know, because I just wanted to be happy, you know, and I realized that I was not happy with the choices that I made, and I felt like I was doing more harm than good staying in it. And that's probably the most grown-up thing I've ever done. Because when I say I stay on to the bitter end, I stay on to the bitter end. I will do anything, all kinds of tricks, just to make you want to be with me and pay for everything. I would do anything to to be in my relationships. And this time I couldn't do it. I couldn't do anything just so I could feel like shit, so you could go outside your relationship and I could get you back by sleeping with everybody around us. Because that's how I live. Very sneaky, very quiet, very, very trifling. And I have been asking God to, like, really help me. And they say once you know a thing, you can't go back to not knowing. Right? And as long as I know that I have a very destructive behavior, I have to tell people, my behavior is very, very destructive. I need a lot of help. Right? And people just come up to me and they sometimes they touch me because I need to be touched, not slept with. Right? I need love. You know, I need unconditional love. My children were very, very supportive because they know I'll neglect them first out of a relationship. And this time I didn't neglect my children. You know, I told my children what was up. And they were very, very supportive. They call. They make sure that I'm all right. They make sure I'm not doing destructive things with guys that they're not going to like later. You know, because they don't like the guys that I choose, usually. And they tell me, I don't like that guy that you chose this time. They very, very... Because I used to tell them, you can express yourself any way you want. Because I grew up, shut up. Don't say nothing, children seen, not heard. Because I came into recovery young, and my children were young, it was like, oh, you can express yourself. Just don't use in my house. That's all I said. So it's been an interesting journey, you know. I have 22 and a half years clean. I tried to start a business on my own. It didn't work out the way I wanted to. I had to partner up with somebody that had some money so I could grow in my own business. And that's been a wonderful thing. You know, I've had to come out of another relationship that was a little destructive where I had to change sponsors again, you know, because I needed my sponsor to be available. And a lot of times when we're distracted, all I could be is supportive, but I know you can't be there for me. The way I need you to be there for me. I could be there for you the way we need to be supporting these addicts in Brooklyn, you know, because it's really important. And I try to give to them what they gave to me in the beginning. It's just love and support without judgment and a whole lot of opinion. Because, you know, they're going to ask, and I'm going to tell you. If you are new, right, don't leave before the miracle. I had 16 years clean before I realized I belonged in this fellowship. You know, that it didn't happen overnight. I didn't have an epiphany. It was I had asked God to send somebody to love me, and the phone rang, and this girl said, we're going to the Baltimore convention. Can you come with us? And I was like, you know, I'm not a group person, you know. But then, you know, the other thing was you just asked God to send you somebody that loved you, and the phone rang. And I went to my first convention. Well, it wasn't my first convention, but this is the first convention that I was not hostile, that I was actually hugging people. You know, because that's how I come to conventions. I come to conventions like, yeah, don't touch me. Just don't touch the face. Leave me alone. Give me space. I had done that for years. And it took me 16 years to be able to come into a convention, hug people, and be nice. You know, hi, how you doing? And people like, oh, shit, you okay? Because that's how I was living for a long time because I was so scared. I didn't know how to be a part of something like this. Being around addicts a lot of times is very overwhelming for someone like me who comes from a background where everybody that touched you was taken advantage, you know, and then everybody I touched, I was taken advantage of too. So, you know, I had to really be careful. But when I ask God for change, he has given it to me, you know, unconditionally. So don't leave before the miracle, you know. It's not always about the other person, right? It's not about how he made me feel. You know, it's how I'm making him feel by the things that I do a lot of times. You know, and when I'm abusive to myself, I'm abusive to everybody around me. You know, but I love him, right? I will always love him, right? He's my dude. We're better off friends than husband and wife, I got to tell you. And then the women in my life are, like, so awesome, right? And the guys in my life are the best. Because I have some wonderful people in my life just to give me support, you know, and I'm so grateful. If you're new, right, just keep coming. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, doing something different, not him or her, has nothing to do with sex. It has a lot to do with how we treat ourselves, right? Shit doesn't come up out of the sky. It just comes in through people, right? That's how I got it. Everything I've gotten has always come through somebody else. Loving, unconditional, without a catch. And thanks for letting me share.